is number 07-1714, the United States against Carl Gordon. Mr. Plotkin.
May it please the Court, my name is Gabe Plotkin. I represent Carl Gordon. Mr. Gordon has challenged the fact that his indictment was brought within the five-year statute of limitations. And since that issue was first raised, this Court decided United States versus RA, which announced law that effectively defeats Mr. Gordon's argument. Mr. Gordon's position that RA is wrongly decided and should be reconsidered for the reasons set forth in his brief.
That case, it does change the law of the circuit?
It does change the law in this circuit and, in our opinion, announces a law that is inconsistent with those of five other circuits.
When the case was issued, was it circulated pursuant to Rule 40E to the other judges of the court?
I don't believe that RA was. RA didn't change the law. Well, RA didn't change the law necessarily in this circuit. It had not been announced whether the constructive knowledge doctrine announced in Herrera-Ordonez applied in the statute of limitations context. And so it said basically that we haven't decided when.
It created conflict with other circuits?
With other circuits, I believe, yes.
Those cases are supposed to be circulated 40E, aren't they?
I've pulled 40E and looked at it. And
the point is, are you conceding too much? Is that case valid circuit precedent?
It is. I believe RA is wrongly decided. And I don't believe that it changes the law in this circuit.
I'm asking. It's a lot easier for us to ignore or overrule a case if it's not valid circuit precedent.
I have 40.
I don't want to waste your time on this because I know you've got other things to argue about.
Did the conflict exist before?
Did the conflict? No.
You say, if it didn't change this circuit's rule, was there a conflict? Was that rule in effect before? Did they just reiterate it?
This circuit, before RA, had never addressed when the crime of illegal reentry, when it was charged as found in, when that crime was complete for statute of limitations purposes. This Seventh Circuit had never decided that issue with respect to.
Was there any other conflict with other circuits between among the circuits?
I believe.
Or was there unanimity of opinion among all other circuits?
No. Other circuits, I think four or five of them listed in my brief, have concluded that constructive knowledge.
Did anybody else, any other circuit, have a different idea than that?
Yes. Than this Seventh Circuit, yes.
Other than, yeah, but no.
Anybody else have an idea like ours?
No.
None?
I don't believe so. There is a footnote in RA that mentions the five other circuits and attempts to distinguish it, but I believe that that's incorrect. It talks about how this circuit has defined.
So what you're arguing about is the question of whether or not this is distinguishable from the other circuits. That's the issue.
The holding in RA is different than the holding in five other circuits.
I understand that.
And I don't believe there's a single circuit that is held the same way that RA has held. And that's my position. I believe that that is one of the grounds upon which this Court should reconsider RA and determine that it was wrongly decided. With respect to the sentence, Carl Gordon was given a 96-month sentence, which was 25 months above the high end of the guideline range, and it's unreasonable for two independent reasons. First, the sentence rests on a clearly erroneous factual finding, and second, the explanation for that high sentence was insufficient. Carl Gordon told the district court that he entered the United States under an honest belief that he could return, mistaken but honest, and he argued that lowered his risk of recidivism and it lowered his culpability. And he pointed to evidence to support that claim. First, the form I-294, which is in the appendix, he was given that when he was deported, and that form is misleading. It says if you wish to return, you need permission to return. And it says it's a felony if you return within 5 years, which implies it's okay after five. Second, He pointed to the absence of other documents clarifying this issue. None of the documents in his entire A file said that he was permanently barred from the United States, and none of them said that his loss of permanent resident status was forever instead of temporary for 5 years. And I think most importantly to support his claim, he pointed to his actions. He waited outside of the United States for 5 years. Then he went to an official port of entry of the United States, San Ysidro, California. He gave immigration authorities his real name, his real alien number, and his real date of birth, and said, "Let me in." And they let him pass. The government, importantly, gave no contrary evidence to disbelieve Mr. Gordon. They didn't point to any documents in his A file that clarified that misleading letter or explained to him that his bar was permanent, and they didn't give the court any reason to disbelieve Carl Gordon, to point out that he is somehow a liar. So despite evidence in favor of Carl Gordon being mistaken and no contrary evidence, the district court still said he knew he couldn't come back. I don't believe him. That is clear error. It is against the evidence. In compounding the problem, the district court reached that decision by relying on faulty speculation. District court basically said, well, anyone who goes through immigration knows that that can't be the case. And it's as obvious as a male is the fact that Mr. Gordon is male, has two arms and two legs. Well, that's faulty, first of all, because it's not true. Immigration law, you guys know as attorneys and judges, as well as anyone else, that immigration law is confusing, and it's not obvious. There are lots of people confused by this letter. There's other cases dealing with this letter and how it was misleading. And secondly, it's faulty because sentencing is individualized. The question here was Carl Gordon, the man standing before you, mistaken? Not whether some hypothetical reasonable person might have been. All the evidence said, yes, he was mistaken. None of the evidence said he wasn't mistaken. Also argue, again, independently, that the explanation is insufficient. I see that I'm going into my rebuttal time. Just say very briefly, the district court didn't say why the guidelines, which already double-counted his criminal history, weren't sufficient in this case, and never said why he was getting to 96 months as the appropriate sentence instead of anything else. And I'll come back to that in rebuttal time and anything else the court would ask me.
Thank you, Thank you, Mr. Plotkin. And we'll hear now from Mr. Nettles.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. Brian Nettles on behalf of the United States. To cut right to the form and the issue, counsel would like to take the part of the form that he thinks is misleading and rely on it, ignore the rest of the form. The rest of the form says he needs permission, and there's no question he didn't ask for permission. Second, and the record at R24-3, when he was interviewed in the BOP, he acknowledged that he came into the country illegally. And I think the record before the court was sufficient for the court to discount the defendant as a multiple convicted felon, his answers based on credibility. He also, the court also gave counsel the opportunity to address the issue about whether or not the defendant believed his resident alien card was still valid, and there was no response by the court. Judges, we believe that the RA court was decision was rightly decided. There's no reason.
If I may stop you there, is that the position that the United States is now taking in all other circuits?
I'm not familiar with that, Judge.
You said you thought it was correctly decided, and you represent the United States. And what I'm asking you is, are you now taking the position that all the other circuits got it wrong?
Judge, I am not aware of their pending cases of that nature. I know that in some of the cases that circuits didn't decide the issue about whether or not a 1326 was a continuing offense, so they haven't really addressed the issue, and that's in the RA court's footnote.
If we didn't have RA around and the law was cases, our law, circuit law was governed by Herrera Ordinez, would the result in this case be different?
It would not, Judge, because in that case, Your Honors rejected his constructive knowledge requirement. In that case, what happens is the defendant was arrested in the Southern District of Indiana under one identity, not his true identity. Later, he was convicted and he was incarcerated in the Northern District of Indiana, and he argued that venue was improper because the government should have known, because he'd used aliases before, that that wasn't his correct name. And it's clear in that case that Your Honors rejected the constructive knowledge defense. And frankly, the RA case, there's a consistent nature of the rationale between Lopez Flores, Rodriguez, and Herrera Ordonez, and the interpretation is consistent with the plain language of the statute, that it's a continuing offense and that discovery is not an element, only that actual discovery.
Under what circumstances, then, would the statute of limitation have any meaning?
It would have meaning into the circumstance that as in the Erie case, as it was determined that the offense, like all continuing offenses, had been terminated. For example, once the person was arrested, or when it was shown that the government actually knew that the person was present, who he was, and he had an illegal status, and affirmatively allowed him to remain in the country. At that point, the statute with limitations would continue to run.
Is that what Harry says?
Yes. And there were two issues. One is either that or actual arrest. And in Harry case...
How is it different than in Herrera Ordonez?
In Herrera Ordonez, that wasn't really the issue, because the issue was venue. And rejecting actual knowledge.
Okay. Let's talk about rationale. How are the rationales different?
I don't believe it's different, Judge.
I see.
With respect to the sentence in this case, I addressed the mitigating evidence that the judge rejected. In this case, the sentence was a result of proper procedures, and it was substantially reasonable. What the judge did, the criminal history argument and the failure to link the sentence to the criminal history is a straw man. This wasn't a departure case. What the judge did is he properly calculated the guidelines, and he exercised his discretion to put a sentence above the guidelines based on the sentencing factors, and that was to protect the public. Illustrative is the King case, in which there was a 34-month increase over the guideline range on a person who, based on continuing fraud, and this court found that it would have been frivolous to have pursued the appeal. In this case, it's clear what happened, and the government would have not sought a higher sentence or an upward departure but for one reason, and the court wouldn't have imposed the sentence but for one reason, and that's to protect the public, because this man, he victimized elderly women in their homes, and that was all this case was about, that was all this sentence was about, and there's no compelling reason to disturb that sentence. And we would request that the court affirm the conviction in the sentence.
Before you sit down, Mr. Nettles, help me out with this if you can. If Herrera Ordonez was still the law, could the government in this case have shown that there was some attempt by the defendant to mislead the government with respect to his capacity to, or his right to reenter
sure.
the country?
Judge, when he presented his green card at the border, he implicitly was represented that it was legal for him to return to the country, that it was a valid green card when he knew that he had been deported.
So in other words, he by affirmatively misleading the government there, we cannot say that was a situation in which the government affirmatively knew of his presence, and number two, knew that that presence was after a felony and illegal.
Exactly.
I see. Thank you, Mr. Nettles. How much time does Mr. Plotkin have? Thank you. Mr. Plotkin, perhaps at some point while you're up there, you could reply to my colloquy with Mr. Nettles.
But let me just say a couple things with respect to RA. First of all, the government's position below was that constructive knowledge doctrine did apply to discovery. There was no dispute in the district court about what the law was. Even the district court applied the law from all the other circuits, these circuits that I've alluded to, the Gomez, Rivera-Ventura cases. The judge said, I accept constructive knowledge as correct. He just made an error in applying that law. So this is a new position for the government now, nothing that they've ever raised before, because RA is inconsistent with all the other case law that's out there. It's also inconsistent with Rodriguez and Lopez Flores, which is what RA relied upon and the government does here. Both of those cases specifically say we're talking about found in an illegal reentry in different contexts and reserved the possibility that statute of limitations was different. That's because it is. Otherwise, it goes on forever. Just because something is a continuing offense does not mean that it lasts forever and into eternity. That cannot be the case. Otherwise, the court would be writing the statute of limitations out of the code book. Congress has said statute of limitations applies. Just as a factual matter, I have the RA decision. There's no footnote with respect to 40E in the RA decision. And as for the attempted to mislead, RA talks about this possibility of when the statute of limitations might end. And they say, well, either actual arrest or when the government has knowledge of a person's presence, identity, and prior deportation. Lots of people sneak across the border, okay, or come up with phony documents to get across the border. We know that happens thousands of times a day. Mr. Gordon walked up to the border with his green card, his identity, and said, "Here I am, let me in." A few feet away, which is in the record, this was cited by Mr. Gordon, a few feet away, immigration authorities had a computer system where if they had typed in his alien number, boom, it would have popped up. Don't let this man in.
But why should we place an affirmative obligation on the United States to do that in every case where someone presents a document which on its face is valid?
Because that's what the statute of limitations does. It gives an affirmative obligation to law enforcement to investigate a crime and timely prosecute it.
We've all entered the United States with a passport at some point where the inspecting officer will take the passport and run it through a computer. On other occasions, the circumstances simply don't allow that use of time. If it's facially valid, he looks at it, looks at you, tells you to pass. He's not breaking the law when he does that. Why should we place a burden on the officer to check the validity of a facially valid document?
I'd say two things with respect to that. First of all, the government hasn't put into any evidence what type of burden it truly would have put on the agents at the border, or even what their procedure is, their normal procedure. This idea of constructive knowledge says doesn't say some onerous burden that above and beyond. It says the reasonable expectation of law enforcement. The government never put on any evidence as to what the normal process was. That's a failure of proof on their part. It's their burden to prove timeliness. But second of all, I'd point out the difference between the example you gave, Your Honor. When you present a passport, you say, "I'm a U.S. citizen." When you present a green card, you say, "I am not a citizen," which means I'm...
Your burden would be to place the government to take every green card that's presented on a return and process it to see whether it's valid?
Yes. They have a whole system, a computer network set up to do that.
I want to know what your position is.
I think that is absolutely the reasonable position. If someone says, "I'm not a citizen, I'm attempting to enter," there are no other questions. That'll be all.